Hey.
All right, I think we're recording now. Cast the Pod, talking about the Reanimator. And we got a special guest today, Cobweb. Please, my
friend.
What up,
though? Oh, man. Today, we got an underground Chicago legend. This guy right here goes by the name of Jay Nice. I've known this guy right here since 19 such and such, right?
Nice.
All right, we're in for it. Yeah. We want to really, this guy right here, he's put out a lot of good hip hop throughout the city of Chicago. A constant professional, a 45 king, might I say, on the 45s. This guy right here, he can spin any disco record you ever thought that you heard, and then your mama ain't heard it yet. So this brother right here always got the party jumping. Always got the party jumping. And that's why I'm glad to introduce my brother, Jay Nice, tonight. Thank you for coming
in. Thank you. Cobweb, thank Josh. Thank you, Dad, for having me. This is fun. This is the first time me doing this, so, you know, this is a new experience for me.
Awesome. We're glad to be part of it. Cobweb, let me ask you.
Ask away, bro.
Is this your idea? Was this movie your idea, or was it Jay Nice's idea?
It was my idea. Why would you think it wouldn't be my idea? What's your problem? What are you trying to say, Josh?
No, what? I mean, we've just
it's been, a theme.
We've been on a streak. We've been on a streak of Cobweb movies, and you know, I just wanted to check.
Right, and you got it. Yeah, it's a theme thing, man. It's mad scientists. It's all about mad scientists. Yeah. Crazy mad scientists. Haven't you figured this out yet? Did you guys catch this on?
This actually shares the mad scientist from the previous movie of The Brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it has some ripoff parts from other movies.
Literally.
No, it did not. This movie was completely original.
It has some historical problems. Like, they didn't have guns in the 80s in Germany. The police
officer. What is he tripping on? What? Dude. He already. The nut hut. Josh. Before we do anything else, can you do me a favor?
I think I know where you're going.
Can you hit the intro, please?
Warning. This podcast is about the horror genre, specifically horror films. As most horror movies are filled with coarse language, violence, and/or gore, the topics and language of the cast of the pod will also reflect the genre. If you have any issues with the aforementioned warnings, please press stop. However, if you have no issue with adult language, movie violence, or the accoutrement that accompanies horror films, please feel free to continue. You have been warned.
All right, one more time back into the podcast, 1985's Reanimator. We got our special guest, Jay Nice, here. Cobweb's right there in the center. Myself and Deb are over here. You can hit us up at Cast of the Pod. Cobweb's at Cobweb411. And Jay Nice, do you have a handle online that you go by?
The real underscore J underscore Nice on Instagram.
Awesome. Is that Fife?
Yeah, that's Fife.
I'm mad already.
Man, I'm seriously. It's probably something to do with Amaria. She's always doing something. Oh, it's the delivery guy. I mean, let me tell you something, though. I ain't going to front on you none at all, man. That Black Ice is a motherfucker, bro. That shit got me this morning when I was leaving out, going into work, and my hips still ain't feeling right. You know what I'm saying? Man, do y'all get that down there in Texas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's worse down here in Texas because
we rarely get it.
We rarely get it. We got like 3 weeks out of the year where it drops down in the single digits and sometimes below. And I was going to say, though, did you see St. Louis, that fire truck in St. Louis that hit the ice?
No.
It button.
Yeah, went spinning through the neighborhood, ended up hitting a car, and missed the front porch of this one house by like 3 feet before it parked right in between two houses.
Motherfucker. Hit my house. Just hit and tap all my shit. Don't play with me like that. If you're going to tap my shit, tear it all the way up so I can get something else. You know what I'm saying? It's true. You know what I'm saying? That's why I be like tripping, why people will actually be like, if they got insurance on their car and somebody tries to jack their car, they just don't give them the goddamn keys. Why the fuck would you? Right, just take the motherfucker. It's yours. Have it. You have it all day. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker insured. That's the reason why they have full coverage insurance. If you living in a plate in a goofy ass world where you still living in single coverage, I'm sorry for you, but grow the fuck up.
Oh shit, crazy man.
What are we doing tonight?
I don't know. What are you gonna say, Jeff?
I was gonna say last week we had to freeze and now we're having flooding.
Oh yeah, last night it flooded.
It came up to our door. Yeah.
What was that?
What part of Texas are you in?
San Antonio.
Okay. Yeah. I got a brother living in Austin.
Yeah, just right up the street. It used to be when you leave San Antonio, you drive a little bit and then you had like 45 minutes of just country to get to Austin. And now you got like 34 seconds of country between San Antonio and Austin. There's so much grown between the two towns that we're almost like one big town now.
Yeah. I went to Austin in the early 80s. And they had one radio station.
Yeah. You hear this fool just dated himself. He went just straight up to he remember UHF and VHF, goddammit. Shit. last fool.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm 55 years old, so.
Oh man, don't date yourself like that, bro. Come on. Don't throw that out there like that.
I look good though.
There you go.
You're only old if you feel old. You make yourself old.
For the youngins out there, don't know what UHF and VHF are. If you've ever seen the old TVs that had the two knobs on it, one was and the other one is. That's as much as I'm going to explain it. You had one that had like 12 channels, then you had the other one that had like a million channels of static.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
That's the first streaming. Analog streaming.
Oh.
What was it? VHF was the one with all the crazy channels up on top, right?
UHF was 2, 5, 7, all the records.
Right, all the NBC and CBS and ABC and all that. How come it was a VHF one that we never used? It was always the one that got lost. You had to use pliers to change the channel.
Because that was the one with the least amount of channels.
But how did it get lost if we weren't messing with it?
Because it was designed that way by the aliens, Josh, to break, bro. You know their craftsmanship shit is fucked up.
Because we didn't have the penguin.
That was like the channels like Fox was on channel 32 in Chicago. I don't know where it is in Texas, but they was on 32.
Yeah, we had 29 and 35, and then the Spanish stations were 41 and 60. Yeah,
we had 44.
Yeah,
we had 44 in my house. Channel 4, that's on TV.
we won't say nothing about when we got the cable box and went all the way to the very last channel. We won't say nothing about that.
Very special channel, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, yes,
man. Is this on TV?
Hey, you know what? That's fitting for tonight because it's going to be some pretty wild ass shit tonight. What's this movie we supposed to be doing tonight, Deb?
Reanimator?
Let me tell you something right now. This motherfucker is crazy as hell. Dr. West is one of the most crazy son of a bitches I ever heard in my life. You can't tell me anything rational about this fool right here. Nothing.
Everything he did was rational. Everything was calm, collected. Doesn't mean he was right, but he was calm and collected.
And he could turn it, and he could turn it on you on a dime. He could flip a conversation to exploit your life in a dime, just so quickly to put it to his advantage. He really could.
He was a disruptor. He disrupted that class too.
See, that was okay. So let's read the information real quick.
Yeah, what we got, Josh? What's the MDIP?
1985, unrated, 1 hour 24 minutes. Director Stuart Gordon. Writers H.P. Lovecraft. Now, I listened to the book today, and it's seriously loosely based. Nothing even close to it.
True that.
You know, they might as well say it was loosely based on Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. But writers Dennis Pauly, William Norris. It's got Jeffrey Combs, Bruce Abbott, and Barbara Crampton. Now, I want to say something about Bruce Abbott. That was Dan. Deborah was like, hey, look, it's Casey Jones, the guy from Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
And he's been like in a whole bunch of shows and all that. Yeah. No, it's a totally different guy. You know how they're saying about how all these actors are all clones and all that now?
Right.
Is not Casey Jones.
He looked just like him. He looked like a younger Casey Jones.
The guy that played Casey Jones is Elias Coates. And this guy's Bruce Abbott. This is the guy from Prophecy 2 with Christopher Walken, who I thought was Casey Jones back in the day in 1998.
No, wait. This is who does he play in this movie here? You got to bear with me here.
That's the boyfriend.
The boyfriend, the guy that owned the cat.
Oh, yeah. Kane.
Yeah.
Kane.
He looks familiar.
The one that looked like Casey Jones.
Kane had a problem. He had a real problem because his problem was he couldn't let go. And let me, you know what, I'm gonna say it right now because I'm always right, but what is the biggest money maker in movies storylines?
Trauma.
Grief.
Part of life.
And this is what this movie was all based on. This is what it all ended out to be. It was all because people can't deal with their grief.
They had a lot in it, though. They had some nudity, too. That helps. go ahead.
What grief did he have?
Well, hold on. We hadn't even... It's comedy, horror, sci-fi. After an odd new medical student arrives on campus, a dedicated local and his girlfriend become involved in bizarre experiments centering around the reanimation of dead tissue. That's kind of weak.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of weak.
What else
all
we got?
All I want to say is that if he would have listened to his girlfriend, none of that would have happened.
Hey, man, we don't need to hear any of that.
She's right, though.
His girlfriend.
She gave him. No, but she gave him straight up. She was giving him the eye when Wes walked in there. And she was like, no, not him. You know what I'm saying? No. No, she didn't. She was shaking her head like, don't let this motherfucker come up in here. Well, now,
you run into that with a lot of educated people. They're so smart, they're stupid. Because, you know, the clues, she might as well have had those things that, like, when you're guiding the airplanes... Like, just telling him no. She had a damn sign up that said no, and he didn't catch a clue.
But she, like, literally said no. How much more do you know?
Deborah, she said it in Spanish. How was he supposed to know?
I tell you, Josh, I want this for Christmas, and it just goes over your head.
I'm bald. It's aerodynamic.
What the fuck?
That's exactly what happened with her. Like, she's like, no, you're not letting him come in. And he was like, money? Ooh, okay.
Right. He played him like that. Like, here's the money. What do you have against it? He turned it on him again, if you case you didn't realize it. Because that's what he came up with the money right then and there. So he turned it around and be like, what reason do you have not to let me stay here? You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cash rules, right? You can change
the cash. I don't think I would have let him stay.
It depends.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not if my woman was like tripping like that and shit. Cause she said, "Don't let that motherfucker come up in here."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he got mad at her when she was in there. She went into the room.
Well, before we even got to that part, you see that he's in Germany when the regular police aren't going to have guns. Which is true, especially around that time. And he's there with Hans Gruber, and Hans dies. They catch him with the empty syringe. Hans pops back up, and they squeeze his eyes out. Did you notice the name Hans Gruber's the same name as the bad guy from Die Hard? Die Hard 1?
Yes, it is. Oh, that's why I sounded so familiar when you kept saying it. I was like, why does that sound so fucking familiar? Okay. All right, there you go.
So next thing you know, he's in America, and he's a student trying to get in at this college. I can't even pronounce the name of the college. It's all crazy. And he's over there telling the main guy at the college, yeah, your stuff's it's remedial. It's almost, what did he tell him? You're almost, you could be accused of plagiarism.
Yeah, he could.
Where I'm from. He did. So Kane hears all this stuff that he's talking, all this mess that he's talking. And that just shows you how this character is. Because even without the clues from the girlfriend, he should have been like, man, I don't need this mess at my house, because he's already against everybody that's in charge here at school.
He already said that he was going to fail him. I mean, how you going to come to the, what's the point of coming back to the goddamn class, motherfucker? Shit. He just said, don't enjoy failing your ass. Shit. What the fuck?
Have fun doing it.
Yeah. So you might as well drop that shit.
Well, goddamn. Every movie is a decision. So if they made the right decision, that movie would have been very short.
Oh, yeah.
This motherfucker would have been over real quick.
Right. No way. Kick him out of school. It would have been over.
Let me tell you something. That motherfucker would have got in the house. Because once I was, because it was that, man, please. He wouldn't even got in the crib. That's right. It. You come over at the wrong time anyway.
That goes back to that old Eddie Murphy bit when he was talking about, if he would have been in Amityville, that would have been like the shortest movie ever.
Yeah, true that.
When he was talking about, look how great this house is. We're close to the school. We're getting a good price on it. Get out. Too bad we can't stay.
That motherfucker for real. Fucking Wes. He just had that crazy look in his eye all the goddamn time. Like he just, and it was intense.
Well, you know,
not like him.
Okay, with the stuff I didn't like in this movie and with the stuff I did like in this movie, I'll tell you what's going to stick with me. I thought I had seen this movie a long time ago, but I've only seen little bits here and there. You know, but this, us sitting down and watching the whole thing, I'll tell you one of my favorite parts of the whole movie.
What is it?
When the professor's there talking, and I only have chopsticks, I don't have any pencils around. And he sits there and he goes, and he breaks a pencil and stops the whole thing. And then he's talking, and then like 15 seconds later,
here breaks comes another pencil.
Just breaks the silence each time.
I suggest you get yourself a pen next time, Mr. West.
but did that have any other type of meaning or anything like that I would have missed? Or I mean, was that a sign or another? Or is it just him being an asshole?
I think it was just him being an asshole.
Yeah, it was just West being an asshole. I mean, honestly,
what?
I'm getting a lot of texts.
Oh, I hear like a beeping or something like that in my headphones. I'm sorry. yeah, you got to turn that off, man.
Those are thoughts you should not be thinking, Cobweb. Right.
I'm getting ideas.
I know, right? I was like, God damn, did I just think of some shit? What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn, this shit's for real. Oh, what the fuck, dude? So,
I'm new to this. I was trying to see if I could load this app on my laptop. That's what I prefer to be on, but I didn't see Riverside in the apps. So,
you can just use the web address and open it up in your browser.
Oh, okay. Like I said, this is my first time.
No worries.
Well, we just popped this cherry.
Hey, what's your favorite part?
Oh, the basement scene. The basement scene. Oh, the one when he went down there with the fucking cat. When he went down and he broke down the door and he started rolling down them goddamn steps. And then he looked up and Wes came walking around the corner with that goddamn cat on his goddamn back, fucking his ass up. And he couldn't get it and shit. So this motherfucker started rolling around. That motherfucker, he trying to get it off his ass. And next thing you know, he threw it off him. And they hitting that, the cat ain't there. All of a sudden, everything like that. That shit was all a shit. You know how I love a good shit show, Josh.
As cheesy and as bad as this movie was, did you notice that throughout the movie, West had those same scratches? They made sure to put the same cat scratches on his cheek.
Yeah.
He was, yes, Dibber, it scarred him, but I mean, I'm saying a movie that had such a low budget and all that, they had the place of mind to keep on putting the scratches on his face. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, there was some good direction in this movie. It was, let me tell you something, why this movie was cheesy. Because they did so much into it. The storyline was really freaking great. I'm not going to front. Because the fact...
Frankenstein.
The cat.
It was all in pieces?
The cat.
What's your favorite part?
Deb, what was your favorite part?
I think mine was the same as Cobb's. The cat. Especially when he was... on Wes's back the whole time. And I told Josh, if I was Casey Jones, I'd be standing there just watching him.
that's when you swing the bat and accidentally miss the cat. Oops.
Oh, sorry.
Oops, sorry.
Trying to get the cat.
Right. And that was a fucking lame ass story anyway he gave about the cat died. That he died, suffocated in a fucking jar.
How great was the what was I supposed to do? Write a note, cat dead, more information to follow.
He did have good comebacks sometimes, but still he made me mad where I was like actually yelling at the TV.
She was.
He was such an ass. See, that's the whole thing. When she walked in there, she's like, what are you doing in my room? I was like, first of all, you couldn't hide the simple fact that this motherfucker was he had this green ass serum in the damn in the refrigerator glowing so goddamn bright that it's coming out the goddamn refrigerator door. Okay? Such a shit. Fuck the goddamn cat. What the hell is that shit?
Talking about that regen agent, that formula that he had, this is the first movie to use glow stick juice on film.
Really?
Yeah.
It looked great.
Well, one, he had a dead cat in the fridge. It was their dead cat. And two, he had the refrigerator door open. How long had it been open all that time? Just free, using up all that electricity. I'm getting older. That shit's pissing me off more and more.
Bro, it was that juice. It was so powerful, it opened up the goddamn door. Okay?
It can bring somebody alive, it can open the door.
Right. That's why Kane came up to his ass when he questioned him. He was like, "And what the hell is this?" You know?
He hadn't even seen the cat yet.
He saw the cat. He wasn't even looking at the cat when he walked in there. He was looking at the goddamn potion. He wanted to explain this. Explain it.
Maybe man. Some liquid weed, some THC.
You want to know something messed up?
What?
The cat that you see in the fridge was a dead cat.
Okay.
It was a real dead cat.
What?
Yeah.
It looked dead to me.
No, but I mean, it
wasn't a prop.
It was not a prop. The one that was all mushed up with the weird eye that they brought back to life again was a puppet. But the one in the fridge, in the room, when they find the little fridge door open, that was a dead cat, a specimen.
Whew. Hey. It's a dead cat. It's a dead cat.
Oh. And make it look later real. On,
it was just chilling in the, the pan, and it was like this.
Oh, yeah. It was where both, you those little feet up.
What's yours, Jason?
The part where the detached head was trying to give cunnilingus to an old girl.
Oh my God! Oh, that was so. Oh, that
so
was.
There's two versions of this movie.
What?
We could, only we could only find the. Even though it's rated, unrated, there is still a more unrated version of it. That has a little bit more in there.
I'm never afraid of that. Okay, I never thought. I haven't seen this movie like in so long. It was like I watched it for the first time when I saw it. Because I might have not seen it since 1980 something like then. So I'm sitting up there watching this shit, and I'm like, I did not know that I was going to get a dose of necrophilia that night. You know, that, I did not know we was going to have to talk about this concept of living. This is why human beings are so fucked up, okay?
It's reversed, though.
It is. No, Deb, you know I'm fucking right. This is the reason why we fucked up, because we got people out here in this fucking world that dream of a shit like this that just fucking tastes whole society, okay?
And that was in the 80s. That
in
was
the 80s. Right, okay. And that was pushing...
That was 40 years ago.
It hurt as a part.
She wasn't dead.
There's three. There's three parts and a musical.
No. Yes. No, it's not. Don't fuck with me. No. Don't be telling me this shit.
Reanimator musical.
I don't even want to know how they even did that scene. I don't even want to know how they did that scene.
So even though we jump from right towards the beginning to right towards the end, there is definitely a scene of a head trying to give head in this movie. And the actor, David Gale, right, was supposed to be Christopher. Oh, my God, I forgot his name. From all the horror movies back in the day, from Star Wars, Christopher. Super famous back then.
I don't know why you asking, looking at me like I know.
Christopher Lee. That's who was supposed to play that part. But then he read some stuff, probably this head giving head scene, and he was like, "Nah, I'm a well renowned Shakespearean actor."
You think so?
So David Gale, who did a great job, man, he was creepy when he gave the toast.
Yeah,
when he was like. To my esteemed colleague and dear friend, commenting on the beauty of his daughter, because I'm going to point out how fine your daughter is in front of you, because I don't give a fuck. That's basically what he said during his toast.
And then when she was leaving with Casey Jones, he was like, don't go. He was like, study here, stay home.
So all throughout the movie, he had all those creep tones going on, right? And so when you get to the scene... of the head holding the head, all licking it up and down and all that, trying to get up into her crotch and everything like that.
that is so nasty.
Here's another true to life story. You ready for this?
Wait. I ain't ready yet. Okay.
Are you ready now? David Gale's wife left him because of that scene, because he acted it so well.
Wow.
Got up. During the filming and all that. Yeah, didn't come home. Done. Because of that scene.
Wow. He was successful in licking the titty, though.
Yeah.
He was way too comfortable
acting way too well in that scene.
That was so goddamn nasty. That is probably, I ain't gonna front. That's gotta be in the top 10 of some nasty ass shit in horror film.
It's been rated the number 3 most gratuitous nude scene in a horror movie ever.
I believe it. I believe it, because I never seen no shit like that before.
Josh, you do a lot of homework. I watched the movie. I didn't do the background stuff.
That's why he gets the extra point for.
Yeah, because all the extra stuff he does. He deserves it.
What? Hold on. Am I really recording that? I need to make sure I get that on tape.
What?
And that's the only time I'm going to say that, so enjoy it.
Okay.
Just send me $10. I remind everybody.
What?
Send me some money. In case you didn't record, I'll repeat it.
I can
get some Chick-fil-A with $10. I'm cheap.
So another thing about that nude scene, because... honestly, the cat in the nude scene is what most people talk about when they talk about this movie, this cult classic that it is. Barbara Crampton, she came out and said that all the nudity in the movie and all that, she knew that they told her ahead of time. It wasn't one of these things where they get into a contract and they film so much, and then the director's like, "Hey, you need to do this," or "You need," and they're all in the surprise. Everything she did, she knew ahead of time. And she said it. Now, while it wasn't in good taste, it was important to the story.
Yeah.
So she was down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that other scene was pretty dope, too. That one, was it the whole thing when her father got killed?
What happened? What about it?
That was pretty dope. The morgue scene. The morgue scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, when he was alive and got killed.
Yeah.
When the zombie. There's zombies, right?
Yep. That's another bit of trivia. The zombie that killed her dad. That was Arnold Schwarzenegger's buddy and stand-in body double.
I could see that. It did seem kind of like Schwarzenegger a little bit. You know what I'm saying? The body type and everything. He was kind of slow. That shit was crazy, dude. Let me tell you something else about that scene that was really fucked up.
There was way too much dick in this movie.
I didn't pay attention.
How about that guy? It took him forever to get some coffee. He was gone for a long time. While all that was gone. I was like, where's the security guard at?
That security guard, when they came in there and they tried to explain to him what happened to the body and shit like that, how did the doctor get killed and everything, he just turned around, I'm calling the police. He just turned around and left.
I ain't paid enough for this.
This shit. Fuck y'all white people on this bullshit story y'all tried to get me ass on. I don't get paid enough for this motherfucker, okay? Because he whooped that motherfucker zombie, whooped his goddamn ass. He beat the shit out of his ass. He ate off his goddamn fingers. He threw his ass up against the wall. And I don't even understand. When he came through him on the door, he smashed him with the door, right? I don't even know how he got blood on his stomach, okay? Because he...
How about the magazine he was reading, the Penthouse?
Well, that's the thing. According to the director... It was in the script for whoever the security guard was going to be. Every time that they would disappear, they were off. Reading the magazine in the bathroom.
Having some happy time.
He said something when he was when he got up to leave. He said something about it.
Oh my god! What he said.
You want to know another thing? As I was going through the trivia, since we've already gone here with this. They've all been warned. The lady at the beginning that had the heart attack, and he was giving her chest compressions when they're trying to show that Dan is a doctor that really cares about people and he wants to do whatever he can to save people. The actress that played that lady was kind of a freak, and they kept her around later on because she's in the scene when they have all the cadavers going around. But during the filming of the movie, she was leaving rubber adult play toys in people's bags and slapping people with them and stuff like that. They said that she was a aficionado of these types of things.
You know what? Let me tell you something right now. I'm not surprised. I bet you that's that same ass chick that was in that doggone Beyond movie. I bet you that was her ass. They had ass on videotape. Because she fucking was nuts as hell, dude. Come on, bro. She got off on that shit.
And I don't know if it's the first movie, but I never seen the movie where they actually show the, you know, like when you see them do those shock treatments to try to revive her, they didn't really show the breasts. And she was just laying there. So I was like, that's kind of odd. I never really seen a movie like that. You know, they kind of cut away. They kind of. Not show that in most movies.
Yeah, that was a small hint of what was going to come out during this movie.
But why did they keep her around?
Well, because she was one of the bodies in the morgue at the end of the movie. All this happened within a few days.
Oh yeah, didn't you say it?
That and she agreed to be naked. That's the only reason why.
Yeah,
she did come.
I bet you she did.
You know, coming into this, I didn't know.
Tim got it.
I do say, though, the movie, I'm looking at the film and the lighting. that was good. The cinematography was good, but the story, you know.
It's a modern day Frank. Well, not modern now, but modern then Frankenstein. I'm okay with it. It's just they went edgy and think about up until this point where boundaries have to be pushed and where we're at now in the world. It's like how far are the boundaries that they got to push to break what they had broke back then. It's kind of scary. That's more scary than anything in this movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty. I thought it was really intense. The story to me, it was because maybe it was because of Dr. West, of his intensity level. But the story was really gripping to me. Honestly, tell the truth, I was sucked in from the get go. I don't know if it was the big stick bourbon that I was drinking, but that shit.
Jay Nice, did he tell you about that big stick bourbon?
Oh no, he didn't tell me about it yet.
He told me, hey, I got this bourbon. It's called Big Stick Bourbon. And I was like, all right, I'm going to avoid any jokes about that right now. Just leave that alone. And then he tells me about 20 minutes later, there's an actual stick in here. I'm like, oh, cool. Is it oak or is it cinnamon? And then he sends me pictures of the bottle all the way around, right? And then I'm like, oh, it's oak. And he tells me, he says, did you research it? You did that quick. On the front of the bottle, it says oak.
That's not my fault, Josh.
You should.
They read it fundamental, right?
That's not my fault. I didn't catch on. Right. I didn't know. I was not my fault. I wasn't paying attention when I bought it. It was on sale, and I was like, hey, you know, it was $50 on a regular price, and it was like on sale for like $30. So I was like, that's $20 off. I'm like, well, shit. Party over here.
And yeah, you got to enjoy some of it before you read it. Yeah.
Right. And you know, I didn't research it. Okay. I didn't research it. Okay. I'll be honest. I didn't. I was just thirsty.
Yeah, but who drinks bourbon when they're thirsty? You drink bourbon to get a text.
I was thirsty.
I know some people that are thirsty that drink bourbon, but no, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Deborah, that was a thirsty joke. Your friends that are thirsty.
I don't get it.
Deborah's got some friends that.
I got to tell you something that happened to me. My brother was living with me. And I was cutting the grass, and it was real hot outside. And then he had put, so it was this water bottle that was in the refrigerator. And I opened it up and drank it down real fast. It was Bombay Gin. And I almost drunk almost half of the water bottle. And he just laughing because I almost threw it because I drank it down so fast. Needless to say, I didn't cut the rest of the grass either.
I was going to say that'll work you up and knock you out at the same time.
God damn. What's your brother doing with that much liquor? Why did he have it in a bottle, in a water bottle?
Because he had took it to the park early the day before. So, you know, you can't have a glass bottle at the park. So he poured it in a water bottle.
Okay. That makes sense.
He said, you didn't break the seal. The seal was already broke. Why did you drink it? I said, I thought it was water still. So that taught me a lesson, huh?
Obviously, ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason why they tell you, you know, when you go to college, you know, don't leave your cups around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and mark stuff right there and, you know, don't leave stuff around. Because Jay Nice over here, this joker was a... he could have had a... Have you ever been slipped a Mickey?
No. It's my refrigerator. It's my house, my refrigerator. So you think I'm going to double check? It's my brother there. It wasn't there.
I get it. Yeah.
It would be different. I was at a bar or somebody else's house, but it was my house and my brother. So, like, I had no reason to suspect anything else.
This is true. I get it. Yeah, I get it. Why get up?
I'm trying to think what could we possibly talk about this movie other than the dead cat, other than the you know what made me mad? And bringing up the German police had guns when they shouldn't have had guns. I'm glad you brought that up, Jay Nice, because there was something that made me mad, and Deborah was like, it's a movie, you gotta let it go. And I'm like, the fact that his head was tore off.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's all like, you will, sounding all breathy and all that. He can't talk because he doesn't have any lungs. But if you're going to make him talk, at least let him talk normal.
Yeah.
But they're trying to make it like he's breathing like he's not breathing at all.
How about that part when he poured the blood in the pan with his head?
Yes. That was dope, bro. That was hardcore. Don't you be fronting on that, Josh. That whole thing with him and that pencil, he was popping upside the head to see what he was going to wake up. And shit, get his ass opened up. I remember like, oh, shit, this is where we going tonight.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
They poured the blood. They took it. When he went to the university, he got his blood.
Well, yeah, I remember him pouring the blood in the tray, but I don't remember a pencil.
Yeah.
Started looking less dead, like he wasn't as pale, like he revived a little bit.
Yeah, that's why he first did it, when he first put it in there, because you know Wes, he's always going to take notes and everything, you know what I'm saying? You always got to have the recorder going, because everything's an experiment with him. Everything.
You know what made me mad?
What?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, bro.
I said, because old dude was on that bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Trying to take Wes serum and stuff like that and acted like it was his, because he was a plagiarist, just like Wes said. Wes said that he was a plagiarist, and that's exactly what he was.
See, so does that make Wes a good guy or a bad guy?
No, he's not fucking a bad guy.
He's not a good guy.
No, all he's trying crazy. To do is beat death. That's all he's trying to do.
Yeah.
He's a bad scientist, y'all.
But he's not a bad guy.
He's a nut, though.
Yes, definitely. So this is the other scene that made me mad. And it brings back Mace. Mace is the name of the security guard, played by Jerry Black. When he walks up to Mace, and his head's been torn off and all that, and he's got the doctor's head, his own head, Dr. Carl Hill, in the bag. Then he's got that fake head up on top.
With the mask.
And then he's like, Dr. Hill, is that you? And then through the bag, yes, it's me. Open the door.
That was hilarious.
Why the fuck didn't he just put his real head on his body and hold it however he held that fake head up there, and then he could have seen where he was walking?
Because it wouldn't have been funny, Josh. It wouldn't have been funny. That shit was funny. That was hilarious.
It would have been hilarious if the body turned real quick and the head didn't, and he's like, turn me around, you idiot. And he's like, you know,
my gosh.
The security guard never heard him
because he was looking at the titty magazine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be securing the morgue.
Who goes to steal dead bodies?
Exactly. Like he said earlier in the movie, I don't know why they lock stuff around here. It's not like anybody's trying to break in or anybody's trying to break out.
And this then is true.
It went to shitstorm, okay?
Look what happened. Yeah.
Look what happened. You're right, Dad.
Cobweb.
Yes.
Why are there fences around cemeteries
to keep the dead bodies in?
Because people are dying to get in.
I forgot about that. That's pretty good.
I always thought, because to keep the souls in, you know, it's not just so everybody can just come in and rave, you know, but you know, it's a barrier.
He's always got to bring us down with the truth.
I'm sorry, you asked, you know, but it's just the truth, though.
The reality of
life. Give me, no, you got to, now you got to give me that.
Cobweb brings us.
Yeah, you got to give me, you know, now you know.
I got one more thing to bring up. The laser drill, it was no laser when he did the lobotomy. It was like a drill, like.
Oh, okay, I got you on that one. Why the fuck did she sign those goddamn papers? for him to whatever he wanted to do with her father, and then go sit up there and say, I'm going to take care of his treatment. Bitch, you should have said did that first.
Yeah, she signed the paperwork. It was 30 minutes after he was dead and brought back. And then she's all like, she's like, he even said that he was going to give him a lobotomy and all that. And then she sees the lobotomy scar and she's like, oh my God, I can't believe he did it. He just told you.
Right.
But Jay Nice is right. On that drill, I guess they had like some, y'all remember those trees? Those trees, it had like a gold base and then they were just like clear like threads and you turned it on and the tips of it would light up.
Yeah.
And the fiber optic trees.
Yep.
So it's like they had those fiber optics on the end of that little fake drill, and it was red, and it looked good when they were doing it up close. But when they pulled it away, and the laser wasn't long enough to reach another millimeter from his head,
right? Because
the laser was too short.
Yeah, dude. That whole thing with her and that paperwork, that bothered me how stupid she was.
Again.
He's gonna sit there and tell her that, yeah, we're going to do minimal, it's going to be minimum damage done to him. We're just going to, you know, give him a lobotomy. It's going to be minimum. And he's telling her how he's going to pull the skull back and cut her head back. It's going to be very minimal stuff, very minimal, barely anything at all. And she was like, sure.
Well, he said exploratory surgery.
Yeah, and his brain.
Yeah, yeah.
He was already dead.
Man. Yeah, he was.
They left out a part of the movie during the edits because the movie was supposed to be like 2.5 hours long.
Really?
Yeah.
How long was it?
1 hour and 24 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So they left out a scene where Dr. Hill, the headless doctor, he was into hypnotism and he kind of had this control over people, and that's why he had the control over the zombies. That's why they all listened to him at the end, because it was kind of like mind control, but it wasn't like they were giving him some mutant power. He wasn't Professor X or nothing like that.
But
that's why they all listened to him, because he was on the side.
Yeah.
Hypnotist.
Okay.
It would have made sense. It'd be
easier for him to do it, right? Because everyone he did it to was lobotomized.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was. Because I thought that's how it was kind of wild, how they showed how he controlled them. And after putting his head up against the mirror or something like that, and he was like, they was like phasing in and out, you know, of the character. I thought they did a lot with what they could do. I mean, let me tell you something. The gore scenes in this movie, it was some classic 80s shit. There was no green room in this junk. You actually had to make this junk look real. You
24
know?
Gallons of fake blood. That was what they used for the movie.
Wow. That's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
That's a lot of blood. Where did it all go?
Here's another thing. I don't know. Dr. Gale. That's his real name, David Gale. Dr. Hill. He was bald. They made him shave his head for the movie because his real hair that he had, they knew they were going to get to the scene where they were going to have to be dragging a head around and all that. And they couldn't afford to get hair that looked like his real hair. So they bought a couple of wigs that matched, shaved his head, put the wig on the dummy, and then he had to wear a wig so it looked the same. That's how low the budget was.
Well, that's smart, though.
Yeah.
That head did look like a hairpiece. Now that you mention it, you know, it did look like a hairpiece. That did.
Well, that's kinda why most of the movie he had his surgeon hat on too, so you couldn't see you could only see the sides.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
he had that short trim sides, and then when he didn't have that surgeon hat, whatever you call it, on his head, then that's when he had his big poofy hair.
Yeah. That jump was So when did you guys think that Kane went mad?
He never went mad. He just got into it.
Yeah. I think he was mad the whole time before he got there.
What do you mean? Mad, crazy mad, or mad, upset mad?
Crazy mad.
Yeah.
Crazy insane.
Kane is the guy that looks like Casey Jones.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was thinking West.
He was coerced to it.
Yeah, first he was mad about the cat, and then he got intrigued at the possibility of beating death. And then after that, he just got drunk on the possible power and celebrity of being the people that cured death.
But then also, I think some of it, too, is because Wes kept blackmailing him. And that's what I was going to bring up, too, because the first time he tried to blackmail him was when he told him that he could find out, like, since he was dating the daughter to the...
Yeah, you wouldn't want people to know that you're dating the dean's daughter.
But the dean already knew that they were dating, so I don't see why it would matter if anybody else knew.
Well, he said that you were sleeping with the dean's daughter.
And I'm pretty sure that the dad knew.
Well, no, the daughter said that he was the last Puritan on the face of Earth. I can't even talk now. Shit. The last Puritan on the face of the Earth.
Right. He didn't know they was doing the nasty.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would believe West over his daughter.
West was crazy as hell.
I don't think he liked them. Just got through doing it. So he smelled fresh sex in there.
Yeah, that was kind of nasty. I ain't going to front. That was kind of nasty. She just got up and just threw up stuff on right after that and just left. I was like, ugh. That's what
Deborah said.
So... He's like, oh, you know.
She's gonna go home and take a shower and then go to sleep. Go on with her day. Night.
Yeah, I guess.
Deborah said,
it's a wash rag. It's a wash rag in the, you good.
Deborah said, when she put her clothes on, I had to. The first time in the history of a husband and wife watching a movie, except husband and wives that are into that type of stuff, but in our relationship, when Deborah's like, rewind it to where she's naked, and I'm like, okay, because she didn't believe that she put her drawers on and then her bra and her pants and her which
well,
one? She's like, well, I saw her. She didn't put her underwear on. I was like, yes, she did. I was like, watch, let's rewind it again.
No wonder you were like, you need me to rewind it one more time?
Research.
Yeah, research. Let me say, bro, you know, there was I was watching this movie, right? And there was a scene that got me where I heard like a clip and I was like, where did I hear it from, right? And it was the scene when he came into the, when our father came to the hospital and he was asking, where is Dr. Is Kane in the building? And he was like, you know, that whole scene right there. I was like, where is that from? Because it just kept popping through my head. And I looked it up today. And that was the one sample that I'd never heard of off of. It was off of Big Daddy Kane's album, Long Live the Kane. And it was I think it was Long Live the Kane single. It was like a single snippet that they used in the sample right there at the beginning. And I was out for years I have been trying to figure out where that was from. I didn't know what movie it was from or anything else, and then as soon as I heard that clip right there when I watched that movie that night, I was just like, what the hell? What the hell? I think
it's on the same album as Wild Wild West.
I don't know about that. Wow, by Kumo D?
I thought we were talking about Big Daddy Kane.
Right. Big Daddy Kane didn't know Wild Wild West.
Wild West.
What the hell are you talking about, dude?
Man.
Did it with Kumo D.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's been a long day. Deborah's got me drinking Starbucks.
Can't see it.
Sugar ain't mixing in my head right.
Oh, man. Hey, Jay Knight. So, I know I'm straight water, guys. I'm straight water. I did have a shot of Big Stick though earlier when I came home. So again, excuse me. But Jay Nice. So you we get a second right here, right quick. So you have a new album out. Is this correct?
Well, it's a new record that I'm running this record label called Solistic 360. So I'm the president of vinyl distribution. So it's a new record that I didn't make the music, but I am selling it and also marketing and promoting it. But I do have a new record that I actually sing a little bit, play the tambourine. And the group is called Chicago Funk Band. And so it's two remakes of two songs, and it's disco. So this is something different. This is like really different from all my hip hop stuff I ever done. And so it's coming out probably in about 2 months. I just finished the cover today. And I'm very excited about it because working with this 360, we have like five artists signed to the label. It's really professional. This is really the most professional label I probably worked with in a long, long time. So
nice.
I will be working on another hip hop album though, really soon.
Oh man, that's
just
what's up.
Playing. But everything that's that I do is just trying to be. I'm trying to look like Rockefeller. You know, I did the video for the single. I filmed it. I missed the editing the video for it as well. And sales are pretty good. I sell a lot of records in Amsterdam, Japan, Germany. Those, you know, Japan and Germany is my number one and number two markets. So I had a lot of connects for selling a lot of records over the years. And so every time I send them an email, they're interested. They at least buy 20 or 30 or 40 of them. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, my first record, though, where I got signed in 93, came out in 94. I was on the same label with Kool Keef, this record label called Funky Ass Records. And I did the song with No ID and Cut Master Kurt, and we sold 5,000 copies. We was number one in France for about 2 weeks. And then, you know, some things, the group fell apart. So after that, so I had a lot of success and, you know, a lot of forks in the road. So, but I'm blessed to be in this position right now. So I know a lot and, you know, continue to learn, and music industry has changed a lot. So I'm very blessed. And Cobweb been there in my life all the time. And that's how we really hooked up. When we was going to the ride together, we talked about music. And that's how we became friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he actually, I remember very vividly a story when he used to take me over to No ID's house all the time, you know, and I used to hang out. But the only thing is, if I went with him over to No ID's house, I couldn't say anything. I had to be quiet all the goddamn time, you know? Like, don't say nothing, Kyle. Don't say nothing, man. Don't. Don't embarrass
definitely
me, okay?
Definitely don't confuse Kumo D and Big Daddy Kane.
Right. So I remember this day very vividly. We're sitting at his No ID's front porch. And this was the time when they came out with these different boxes of cereal. They were sending sample cereals in the mail. And we're sitting there, and a mailman shows up with a certified letter, you know, and his mom, the mail, and I see the cereal, and his mother gives me the cereal, and she gives Dion the letter. You know, and then we're sitting there, I'm eating it, and Dion says, let's go sit in the truck. And he takes me and Ainsley and Jay Nice in his Jeep, and he opened up that check for 10 G's. And I was like, I never seen anything like that before in my life. That was the first time I ever saw hip hop money, you know? And I was like, this shit is fucking real. You know, people can get paid off this junk. And look at No ID. Last I heard, I think he was running Def Jam Records or something else like that for a while. And
he was. He's the vice president at Capitol now.
See what I'm saying? Right. And I used to sit on this guy's front porch and eat his trial cereal, you know? Yeah.
Just recently, I photographed a common guy, Jim Shoe, And so it's on Ewing, you know, Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing has a gym shoe company. Mm-hmm. So I did the photo shoot for the Ewing's Common Sense Can I Borrow a Dollar gym shoe. So I'm really excited. I'm waiting for my pair to come. So, but I was able to shoot that shoot, and a lot of good things. Working on some comedy documentary. I hopefully you film the rest of it. The pilot is done, so that's coming. So I got my hands on a lot of little different things here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that is.
So I'm trying to do it.
It's living a cycle, man. Living a cycle. This is the first, you know what? You guys are in for a treat, honestly tell the truth. We go really back that far. You know, this is probably one of my oldest, dearest friends that I know. You know, I remember purposely this dude came out to my house. He dropped me off at the crib because I told him I had some records to give his ass. And he's like, what? And I was just like, yeah. And I let him go through my pop's records collection. And he took whatever he wanted. I said, take whatever you want, bro. Take whatever you want. Little did I know, he took about $500-$600 worth of records that day.
And what you said.
Right, because I didn't know. And then when we were record shopping one day, I was like, hey, isn't that the one? He said, yeah, that's the copy you gave me. I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He was just doing what you told him.
Hey, I was paying my dues. I was paying my dues back then. That's what they called it.
And the funniest thing, I got 10,000 records to this day.
Really?
Yeah, I have 10,000
records. You see the look on Combo's face right now? Do you see that?
Yes.
I probably got 1,045, 7 inches.
You continue to see
I got 8 tracks.
What do you think about the resurgence of vinyl? Now that all these young kids are thinking that they know what's going on, and now vinyl's coming back.
Oh, it's great because it pays more. You can sell boutique style records. What I mean, boutique, you can press a small quantity, and it's a chance for the artist to make some revenue. Let me explain. Tidal's plays the most. You need 95,000 streams to make $300. Mm-hmm. Also, 300 records, and I made $4,000.
Nice.
And so it was about $3,000 profit. It cost me $800-$900 too. So it was about $3,100-$3,200 profit, and I only sold 300 records. And so that's really what the money at. You know, streaming is not that. And so the young guys are buying it as for investment. You know, the people under 30, half of them got turntables. They buying it and they keeping it. Some of them are using it for bragging rights. So 20 years from now, they can sell it. And you got pure vinylists. You know, I went back to spending all vinyl now. It's just having that record and that artwork. So it's great. You get to, you know, you connect to your consumers better. You know, you get to know who wrote it, who's on it. And unlike, you know, iTunes, you don't know who produced it. You know, it's Kanye. Yeah, everybody knows. But, you know, this, I could be somebody on a record and relatively unknown. So they were like, oh, this record was produced by Jay Nice. And you get to read those credits and the artwork. And we signed this artist called Spike, and we're going to put a poster in his record. When the last time somebody put a poster in a record? It's been since the 70s and 80s. So that's the part I like about it. And it gives artists opportunity to make money. They don't have to have a deal. We're in the world now where we don't have to have a major label.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah. It's actually because, you know, that's also another opportunity for them, or revenue, when they get that poster, because it comes in handy, especially if they can come to the concert or the show and they can have that to present to the artist to get the autograph and stuff like that. You know, it's just, it all fits into play.
And the warmth, I mean, that talk about the high fidelity of it, you know, the old Macintosh amps and the good speakers, all that stuff. You can't hear that in the digital. It's a big difference in the analog. These speakers. I got a pair of Altec speakers from the 70s. They worth about $2,000. And they sound, when you play a record on it, it's just a different quality. It's like, it takes you back. It's nostalgia, like you said, you know, when you grew up. You'd be like, wow, I remember my parents playing the Motown or my father playing the blues on the record. So it ties back. It really ties my memories back to when better times, I guess.
And really all you have to do is, for all these people that don't know the difference of what the sound is, let them hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Just one time, and just hear the difference. The same song, stream a song at the highest quality you can get it, and then play the same song, same headphones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on a record, and then you can hear the difference. But real quick, I gotta make it up to Cobweb a little bit after my faux pas earlier. But,
Oh, is Mr. Kane loose in this hospital?
In the morgue, I think, Doctor.
I specifically told Dr. Riley to suspend him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yep. For years, that was driving me insane. It's good shit, though.
Well, we all producers, we all nerds. We watch these movies and get these ideas. And you think about hip hop emulated a lot of cultures and rolled it into one. And that's, yeah, we listen to movies, you know, we're like, wow. Wu-Tang Ain't Nothing to Fuck With is Underdog. That's the sample, yeah. Underdog. And you'd be like, oh, I remember that. And they watched those shows and they decided to use it in the music, in the beat. So,
just talking about Wu-Tang, how many samples can't even talk about it because there's going to be so many kung fu movies mixed up in there. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, that Wu-Tang style.
Yeah, just a culture and that stuff they was into, karate flicks. So they say, somebody said, I was listening to the Reanimator and I'm listening to the sounds. I said, should I go try to see if I can get that record? The soundtrack to it, if it is one in existence. I heard some sounds. I said, I can make this a hip-hop beat easily.
Reanimator did catch a little grief because of the soundtrack, because it's so close to the Psycho, Anthony Hopkins. And who's Anthony Perkins? Psycho.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins.
No, Anthony Hopkins is Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
Oh.
Anthony Perkins, you know, stabbing old girl in the shower.
Yeah, you think so?
It's almost the same song.
Might be the same orchestra.
It was inspired. Charles Band, who does a whole bunch of horror films and did this one, just kind of was inspired a little too much by it. Hold on, look. Y'all keep on talking while I look for it.
They might not have that much money, so he said, "Let's do this stuff over here, hurry up and kill."
They chopped it up. That's what it was about.
10 hours of studio time. Just do whatever.
Yes,
man. You know what? You want to think about this movie? I did like the ending. I really did. It all kind of fell in place because you knew. I was like, when he was sitting up there, and that zombie was choking old girl. I was like, and Wes went to go get that axe, and Kane went to go get the axe, and I'm like, dude, where are you going? I mean, yeah. He had to go down the whole goddamn hallway to go get the goddamn axe. Did you think she was still gonna be alive, motherfucker?
I told Deborah, all he's got to do is kick it. Just use your leg and kick the damn zombie.
Remember, the zombies had super strength, though.
I guess I don't. Yeah, yeah.
Well, see, that's what I learned today with the book, with the H.P. Lovecraft book. They were looking for bodies that had died a certain way because there were limitations on the reagent fluid. Like the first human they brought back was a drowning victim from recent, and they couldn't be anybody that had like a heart attack, couldn't be anybody that had lung damage, couldn't be anybody that, you know, because the fluid wasn't, it wasn't zombies like in our zombie movies where it just brings whatever back. It had to be a body that was functioning somehow, and then they brought it back.
Well, that one body, didn't the guy say heart attack? The Arnold Schwarzenegger.
In the movie. Yeah. Very, very loosely based, but here's the Reanimator theme. Right at the beginning. And then here's Psycho.
Yeah.
You know what else it reminds me of?
What's that?
The Pee Wee movie. When in the morning, in the
yeah.
Oh, shit, damn.
Mr. T cereal.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's where they dunked his bike. They took the bike in. Oh, my God. That was horrible. That was pure horror.
Hey, you know what? People can say whatever the fuck they want to say about Pee Wee Herman, but in that movie, right?
Right.
His bike gets stolen. What does he do? He goes straight over to Francis's house and starts drowning that motherfucker. Give me my bike. Give me my bike. He's like, what? He holds his head underwater. Give me my bike.
He wasn't playing.
Nobody ever talks about how badass Pee Wee is. He just went straight over. He knew who took it. He knew what was up and went and started drowning him.
Yeah. I was about to make a break for it. Was running out the door, out the window when they caught his ass. He was like, You gotta love him.
You know the.
I don't know where that came from.
It's damn.
They fixed one of his movies. They fixed the edit in one of his movies.
The chain.
On the bike. Yeah, the chain. Yeah, they fixed
you
that part.
You can see it on the bottom.
Yep.
I have it on DVD, and you can see it on the DVD where the chain's coming up through the bottom. But then on the Blu-ray, you can't see that it's coming up. Why do you have to make this movie super realistic? It's okay. It's Pee-wee. Leaving the chain coming up the bottom of the bike is still funny. I mean, it adds to the.
Yeah.
So the chain part, you can't see the chain part, but you can see him flying in the bike towards the end. Like that's normal for him to be.
Let it go, Deb. Flying.
Listen to what we're at now. 45 minutes of Deborah talking about Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
It's one of my favorite. It's not in the top 10, but it's up there.
We're talking about Reanimator.
I know.
Man, how far is that calculator of doom at?
I think it's right around the corner. Have you told Jay Nice about the calculator of doom?
No, I've not told him about the calculator of doom.
Okay. There it goes. Oh, go ahead.
Well, the calculator of doom is the calculator of doom. We're going to. It's the calculator of doom, man. It's how we score the shit.
Doom.
Right. And we don't want to scare. I mean, what the fuck, man? What? What'd you want to tell him? He can figure it out. Goddamn.
Nobody knew it was me saying it into a mic, even though we recorded over here. Thanks, Deb.
Nobody heard me. I'm just in the background.
That's cool.
No burp this time. So we used to have a graphic of a calculator stomping its way closer to the screen. This is when we rate the movie. 0 being the worst, 10 being the best, 5 being it's all right. You know, anything before 5, you're probably never going to watch again. 5 and after, you're probably going to watch it again, maybe. You know. And Jay Nice, since you are our special guest today, it's up to you to pick who goes first. If you want to go first, go for it. Or if you want to pick one of us to go first with our ratings.
Let Deb go first, because we kind of over-talked her a little bit in this show.
She'll be fine. It's okay.
I'm used to it with these guys. So.
What the hell am I supposed to mean?
That means y'all talk over me all the time.
That's not damn true.
I want to talk too.
She's got the loudest voice out of all of us.
That's because oh my you can't God. See me. I have to be the loudest. I'm the voice in the background.
Duh.
What? This was the first time that I seen this movie, and it, It had a little bit of everything, and it made me mad. It made me laugh, and it made me like close my eyes a couple times and go ew. So at first I gave it a 9, but then West, I had to take some points off because of him. So
what did he do? What did
he just made me mad. I know he was doing his job if he made me mad, but when you make me yell at the TV, that's
he so was too good.
So because of West, I gave it a 6.
What?
What? From a 9?
9 to a 6? All the way
down to a 6?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's my final answer.
Oh, shit.
But how you take off points because he made you mad? That's what he's supposed to do.
That's literally his job. That was right. Literally his job. You know, when Owen Hart passed away back go in ahead. The day, and somebody told me, my mother-in-law called us up. Because back in the day when you used to have pay-per-views, you didn't have the app or any of that shit, right? And we bought the pay-per-view. Then we went to go get pick up some pizza. And by the time we came back, he had already died. Mother-in-law calls up, and it's like, did you like Owen Hart? He's like, no. She's like, oh, well, he's dead. I'm like, what? Right?
What?
And it wasn't until he passed away over the next few days after that that I realized it wasn't that I didn't like him. It was just I hated him as a heel. He did his job so good that I had hated him. So that's what you're doing here, Debbie.
Yes, I didn't like him. Plus, he killed a cat. You know how
he didn't kill that cat. He did not kill that cat. That cat died. It suffocated in a jar. It suffocated
twice.
It got his head stuck in a jar.
Fell down. The cat was somewhere where it shouldn't have been. Right. It got his head stuck in a jar.
He brought the cat. Him again.
I was mad that the cat couldn't tango.
He put his bait in that jar and said, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty."
That's it. Well, you know my stand. Once you touch the animals, that's it.
All right, all right.
And I gave it a 6. I could have went lower, but I actually did like the movie.
But how
I did like the movie, but Wes killed the cat.
I still don't get it from 9 to 6. You took 3 points off.
Well, I was thinking points. Maybe an 8 or a 7.5 or something
that.
2 points because he made me mad, and then an extra point because he killed the cat twice.
She's like, this movie is perfect. It's got everything. I give it a 10 plus, but the main bad guy in the movie did bad stuff, so I'm going to give it a 1.
Okay, 7.
No, don't.
No.
You gave it what you gave it. You already said it. It's too late.
All right. That's it, Deb. And a 6 it is.
The purpose of horror movies is to do the inappropriate stuff. That's the base of the movie. It's very inappropriate. It'll be like, yeah, I killed a cat and brought it back to life.
Killed it twice.
I don't understand.
It's my opinion.
How you gonna play crazy and get mad because he played crazy well?
Exactly.
I don't understand.
I'm mad because he did his job.
I don't understand. I'm confused.
It's okay.
Jay Nice, who goes next? Who goes next?
All right. Josh, yeah, you can go next.
All right. Well, I was going to give the movie an 8 because the boundaries that it broke and not realizing how much. Because I've seen clips of this movie here and there. Never seen it straight through. How much it's influenced other things. Right? And then Cowboy brought up the sample that I didn't think about. Deb brought up the cat that was going on. And I mean, just this whole conversation we had about it. I'm still going to give it an 8. And cool. I mean, considering it was 1985, it was a nice pair of boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one in the beginning?
No, and you got tush, too. You got tush, too.
Yeah.
And no BBLs.
Hey, you got Bush.
When everything was real.
Yeah, you got Bush. You got Bush.
All right. Okay. Well, I will go next. And then I liked it because I'm into video. I did cinematography. I think was good. The story is kind of all over the place. Some of the special effects was kind of cheesy. Some of the lines, some of the acting was cheesy. So but it had some funny parts. I have a sick sense of humor, so I give it an 8 because it's just, I put it in a time frame of 1985. I wouldn't compare it to a movie in 2024. So to me, it was pretty good. It was entertaining, I have to say that. So I give it an 8.
I'm glad you brought that up because Deb and I had that conversation yesterday evening that on Cast of the Pod, are we going to start rating the movies on what we would have given it then, taking into consideration when a movie came out? Because we go from movies that are just came out last month to movies that came out 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And I'm glad you said that. Yes, we do have to take that into consideration. This came out in 1985. And real quick before Mr. Webb comes out and we get the total for this, I just remembered as you were saying the effects and the gore, it always gets to me in these movies when they use that ragu spaghetti sauce and it just slowly comes out of the mouth.
Yes.
Any of these types of movies.
I love it. And
it just blah, blah, just hits me wrong. Just
again, it's doing what it's supposed to do, Josh.
Exactly. Exactly. Mr. Webb.
I like this movie a lot. Like I said, I didn't remember watching it too much back in 19 such and such, because I probably only saw it once, like on a VHS or something else like that, and that was it, rented it. So it was like a new movie to me as well. I love the ending, how it ended, with his girlfriend dying and he's got the serum, and you see it as they go to black, you just see the serum green glowing being injected into her. And she starts screaming, and you just know, I gave this movie a 10.
Damn.
A 10. I'm not going to front. The Reanimator, it had, like Dev said, it had everything in it. Honestly, tell the truth, it was a classic 1980s cult classic movie. It had the gore. It had the suspense, the intensity about it. I don't think this movie lacked it. If you really thought, like, what would be a classic 80s horror movie, that would have enveloped every essence of it, this would be it. This would be, like, you consider, like, the Beat Street of horror, And it went into that concept of, like, dude, we had necromancers. Necromancers. Yeah. And necrophilia in the same movie. Never been done before. Never been done before. It's a 10.
So the average of the four of us, despite Deborah's despicable 6, thanks to Cobweb's 10, and then the 8 that Jay Nice and myself gave it, the movie gets a rating of an 8 from Cast of the Pod.
Cool.
That's respectful. That's respectful.
Look at that IMDb. There's 18,000 other people that agree with us giving the movie an 8.
Okay.
And only 10,000 people that have ever given it a 6.
Is they probably mad about the cat too?
How many people gave it a 10?
7,500.
So everybody agrees with us with the 8.
It's kind of hard for me to give him a 10 because, like, movies like Exorcist was, that's a 10. So.
I'm going to have to disagree with you because Exorcist never scared me. I don't know. There was something broken in my head. Something that, it was just like.
Exorcist 3 did.
Exorcist 3 scared the shit out of me. We won't even get into that.
And that's the lamest one. How is that still, that's the lamest that one.
Well, it's
that one scene when it cuts the head off of the nurse. Well, just the thing.
It's because when we watched it, like Josh said, what happened afterwards to us?
We lived with a curandera at that time. Do you know what that is? There's a witch doctor.
Oh, wow.
And so we had to go do some witch doctor shit that same very night.
Dude, did he have like chicken feet in y'all fridge at times and shit? She had chicken feet?
Yes.
Lots of chicken feet? Yeah.
Not lots, but some.
Some?
And she put something inside of...
Don't even say it. Don't,
I wouldn't eat shit in that. No. How did y'all do... Why did you...
It was enough to scare the shit out of me in Exorcist 3.
Enough said, bro. I just don't even know how you... How do you know, meet people like this? Is this like common in San Antonio?
It's called family. It's called family. Oh. And living in South Texas is close to the border and having family coming over from that other side of the border.
This is what you get.
Yeah, Patreon, Patreon level stuff we're getting into right now, bro.
Okay. You don't get this for free.
No, they got to pay for this stuff. This is the inner workings for real. I didn't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know.
Yeah, the stories so we have.
They say free is not always free.
Yes.
Beware of free stuff. You got to deal with it.
Yes. But J-Nax, one more time, please, sir, can we get your social medias?
The_J_nice. Also on Instagram. Also, they can get in touch with me at Soulistic360 on Instagram.
And that's Soulistic, like SOUL?
Yeah, LISTIC 360.
Awesome. Cobweb, anything you want to throw in there?
Man, this has been a good episode. One, because I get to hang out with you guys, and then if Double Jeopardy, you know, I get Jay Nice in the house, you know? I'm feeling this is a great day. This is a great, you know what? This is what's up. This is what's up. And we got to talk about a great movie. My soul is content.
And I had so much fun. This is the first time I ever done this. So next time I will definitely cut off my phone from receiving calls.
We don't need Cobweb getting ideas anymore.
Yeah. See, but here's the thing though. Here's the thing. I think you need to give a couple of lessons to Cobweb about this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What?
All I know is Jay Nice reached up to his phone, took care of business, flipped it around a couple of times, the screen went dark, came back and all that. Cobweb, normally, as soon as you see his hand reach towards the screen, then disconnected.
That's not fair, Josh. That's not fair. It's not that bad.
It's become a feature on Cast the Pod. When will Cobweb hang up on us?
Ding, ding, ding.
Technical difficulties.
Hey, this is pod, baby. This is what you deal with. This is what you deal with on the pod.
But all right, y'all. So once again, we are Cast the Pod. You can reach us at any of us. Shout out to our Club 3P. Thank you very much. And as always, to anybody listening to, especially if you've made it all the way almost an hour and a half into this, you know, we talk about sometimes donating your money on Patreon and stuff like that. But the simple fact that you shared your precious time with us, that's more than we can ask for. So thanks for listening. And until next time, I'm Josh.
I'm Cobweb.
Jay Nice.
I'm dead.
Jay
Nice. Sorry.
Yeah, and our special guest,
Jay Nice, a.k.a. Ainsley.
You have been warned. Peace.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.